Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How you doing today? This is Zurian, and welcome to the Zurian Show. I want to thank you for, again, listening to our show, and I hope that you're finding the information that we share useful and informative. Today's show is going to be a little different, as in we're going to be talking about some Greek mythology. And we're going to be taking one of the Greek stories or stories of Greek mythology, and we're going to kind of be matching it up to modern day and trying to get an idea of how some of Greek mythology is actually echoed in some of the actions and some of the things that we do today. So I'm sure that most of you didn't think that you had really anything in common with Greek mythology. However, you probably do. Now, whether you'll see this as a positive thing or as a negative thing, that's totally up to you. That's up to your interpretation and how you feel or receive this information and interpret it. However, I think it's pretty compelling when we think of the things that we do today and how we do them and why we do them and what some of the meanings of them are. Not just the meanings to us, but the meanings as other people may see it. You know, life is quite an interesting thing. I mean, we only have a finite amount of time in life, and we only have a finite amount of time on this earth. Now, when you go to the next level of life, which is the world that none of us have seen, but all of us hope and pray for, you know, then there's some other things that you're going to have to deal with and some other events that you're going to have to stand up to. Also, depending on your particular belief, there's also maybe some prices that you will need to pay for some things that you may have done, depending on, again, your particular belief. And right now, we live in a world that's full of turmoil. And the story that we're going to hit, again, we're only going to hit points of the story as a whole, but the story that we're going to hit is called the myth of Capricious. And the myth of Capricious is actually spelled S-I-S-Y-P-H-U-S. Again, the myth of Capricious. And again, let's say that one more time. Capricious is S-I-S-Y-P-H-U-S. And you can actually look online, and some of the stuff that we're going to talk about is there. And actually, there's a whole series of different comments and different things and sayings on Capricious and different people's outlooks on who Capricious was and why he did what he did and why he, you know, had to pay the way that he had to pay. But anyway, I just want to briefly go over this story with you, and I want to look at some of the comparisons to what we do now and, you know, see what you think. Give me your feedback. Okay, Capricious was basically condemned by the gods. So Capricious was a person, you know, or an entity that was condemned by the gods. And he was condemned to ceaselessly roll a rock to the top of a hill. That was his punishment because he had angered the gods. So since he angered the gods decided that, you know, they had other punishments for him. But in the end, they decided that the punishment that he would have would be to roll a rock to the top of a mountain again and again and again and again. And to the best of my knowledge, through all of time. So anyway, Capricious would take this rock, and whence he would start rolling the rock up to the hill, and then, because of its own weight, the rock would then come rolling back down or falling back down the hill. And Capricious's job was to go back to the bottom of the hill, and it was to go ahead and start to re-roll that particular rock back up the hill. So the rock went up. As soon as Capricious got to the top of the hill, Capricious had to roll the rock, let the rock go, the rock would roll down, and he would start over again. And this was basically his sentence. Now, a lot of people might say, well, why did the gods, you know, make Capricious roll this rock? Why did they feel that rolling a rock was punishment? And why did they feel that that was a punishment that was befitting Capricious? Well, the way that the story goes is that there was some thought and some of the reasoning that the gods would think of this as being such a suiting punishment was they felt that the most dreadful punishment in the world was to do fruitful and hopeless labor. So no matter how many times Capricious was to roll that rock to the top of the mountain, it would roll back down again because of its own weight, and then he would start over. He would continually roll the rock up the hill, let it go. It would roll all the way down. He would have to come back down the hill, go back to the bottom of the hill, roll the rock all the way up. And that was basically his chore. That was his duty. That was his destiny. That was, you know, his damnation, you know, for eternity. Now, some people might say, okay, this guy Capricious, he had to roll a rock up a hill. Okay, I'm not rolling no rock up no blooming hill, all right? And if the rock rolls back down, I'm not going back down the hill and start all over again and push the rock back up the hill. Well, as a comedian Ralphie May may say, I say nay, nay. Most of us actually are doing the same thing that Capricious is doing. All right, every day we get up, and this isn't just, we're going to do it first on a job point. Every day we get up, Monday through Friday for most of us, those of us that don't work weekends and holidays, or if you work an evening shift, those same days during the evening shifts, and we go do a job. That job is pretty much us doing the same things every day, or the same series of things every week. So there may be some variety in it, but what really is the difference between Capricious rolling a rock up to the top of the hill and then at the end of the day or the end of his chores having to start all over again and what we do now, those of us that work a job, especially if we're working a job that is not giving us the fulfillment that we want. You know, we're not actually in our minds, in our hearts, and in our souls adding to, you know, our human family. We're not adding any good. We're not doing anything that we feel is purposeful, any task that we feel is going to help us to not only develop ourselves personally, but to also help and develop others that may need that particular help. Okay, now, if you're doing a job that you love, you're still doing the same thing that Capricious did. It's just that you're finding joy in what you're doing, which is a beautiful thing, because to find a meaning and reason in your life is a beautiful thing. However, the gods sentenced Capricious to this particular chore because they felt again that it was futile and hopeless labor. So again, if you're doing good, doing the things that you do and you find enjoyment in it, then it's not fruitless or futile labor. It's you actually making a contribution to somebody or making a contribution to others. And the goal for most of us, I would hope, I mean, I don't really see this a whole lot, but the goal for most of us that are doers, that want to develop and grow, is to do as much as we can for as many people as we can. Now, it is believed that Capricious was given, now, the chores that Capricious was doing or was having his labors to do were supposedly in the underworld. So Capricious was sentenced to hell, and while he was sentenced to the underworld, as they say, all right, or the underworld kingdom or empire, he had to do his particular chores. Now, if you were to look at Homer said that Capricious was one of the wisest and most prudent mortals that there were. Now, this is according to him, and according to him and other traditions, you know, it may be looked at a little differently. However, he disposed to practice the profession of a highwayman. So he considered Capricious to be in the sense just like a highwayman. All right. And there's really not a whole lot of contradiction in that, in the sense that, you know, a highwayman, you know, does it a little bit differently, but also it's a labor where he's constantly doing the same thing. You know, he's constantly fixing the road. He goes from one end of the road to the other end of the road, and he patches the holes in the road. The difference, though, with a highwayman or with somebody that would be working on a roadway is that if you've got people that are traversing that road, you're actually fulfilling a need. You're actually getting something done that is going to benefit other people, as in they have a smooth or a safe road or an uncumbersome way of travel by that particular person doing what they do. Now, Capricious's job was, again, to roll a rock. I can't really find a whole lot of value in that. And a lot of us, if you look back at your particular profession, or we're going to go back and not even say profession, because if you have a profession, it may be something that you like to do, something you may have gone to school for, something that you may have desired to do since you were a little person, even though a lot of people that go to school for one thing, at the end of, you know, that 4 years or 6 years or 8 years or whatever the amount of time is of education, a lot of people can't find a job doing what it is that they want to do. And in that time, as what they say, life happens, they are basically kind of, by convenience, drawn into another direction. And in that other direction, they find that sometimes they become kind of trapped. And when I say kind of trapped, what I mean is that while they were looking to do what they wanted to do, what their passion was, they find out that they can't do that. So they take whatever is available, and then from whatever is available, they go forward into their lives. And then the next thing you know, that's just what they do. They end up doing that particular job, that particular mundane type of a living or existence. It becomes part of their life. Why? Because now they start making more money doing that than they would have doing what they thought was their passion, and now they can't afford to leave what they're doing. Well, as one of the motivational speakers, actually one of the greater motivational speakers ever said, and the person that may be considered one of the fathers of modern day positive thinking and self-development and self-awareness, the gentleman that wrote Think and Grow Rich, he said that he would rather fail at what he loved than to succeed at what he hates. Well, Capricious didn't love rolling this rock. However, he did it again and again and again. And, you know, Capricious also, from what I've read, was a pretty passionate individual, you know, passionate about his love for his wife that he left behind. And at one point, you know, because he knew that a particular god's daughter had been taken, and the father was shocked at her disappearance, so he explained it to Capricious, and Capricious knew who the abductor was. And basically he told that particular guy that he would tell him if he would give him water and take the water to the citadel. All right, so to the citadel, the thunderbolts, he preferred to the benefits of water. Anyway, during this time, he was punished. During the time that he was being punished in the underworld, you know, so it's interesting because basically Capricious had an out. He had a way out that where he could go and visit the upper world again, and he could be removed from where he was supposed to be removed from, because originally Capricious supposedly had been put to death in chains, so he was supposed to be killed. And somehow or other, Pluto could not endure the sight of this particular deed, and the fact that he was in the Silent Empire, the Silent Empire being, I believe, Hades. So he dispatched a god war, all right, to liberate the death from his hands of his conqueror, which was Capricious's conqueror. It is said that Capricious, being near death, rashly wanted to test his wife's love. So he went there to test his wife's love and basically went to seduce her. Well, when Capricious woke up in a public square, in the middle of a public square, where they had buried her body, Capricious woke up. And when he woke up in the underworld, and there he was annoyed by the obedience and the controversy of human love obtained from Pluto, the permission to return to Earth and ordered to his wife. But when he had seen her face again in the world, or when he had seen the world again, he enjoyed something called water. He enjoyed something called sun. He enjoyed something called the warm stones and the sea. And he no longer wanted to go back to his infernal darkness. And he became angry. So basically, he decided that he wasn't going back. You know, he had kind of found freedom from his chains, found freedom from his bondage, found freedom to get away from his medial labors and the suffering in which he was being exposed to. And while he was there, Mercury came and seized him and said to him, "Impudent man," grabbing him by his collar and snatching him from his joy, and led him forcibly back to the underworld, where his rock still awaited him. Do you ever think that when you're going to a job and you really don't want to be there, or you're doing something that you don't want to do, or you're in a relationship that you really don't want to be in, but you have other powers or other forces that draw you back to that chain, back to that labor, back to what you or the person that's being forced to do it, and sometimes that force isn't a physical force, you would consider punishment. A lot of people think that physical force is the only force that can make them do something. Well, a lot of mothers will do things for their children for the love of their child. There are men and women that will do things for the love of their loved ones. You know, grandchildren that will do the same thing for their grandparents for the love of them, and grandparents that will do the same thing in exchange. They'll go back to that fruitless labor. They'll go back to that suffering. They'll go back to that pain. Now, these people are rare. And they're rare in the sense because most people, again, want pleasure but won't endure the pain to get the pleasure in which they want. They can't let go of those inner demons. They can't let go of the fear of failure. They can't let go of the fact that they may fail and it may not work, or things may not be the way that they're supposed to be. And then you have some people that feel that they don't deserve that outcome. They don't deserve that peace. They don't deserve to be wealthy. They don't deserve to be happy. They don't deserve to have joy. They don't deserve the man or the woman that they're with, or the person that they're with. They don't enjoy their success. And this is repeated throughout history. If we look at a lot of the people that most of us would quote unquote kill for, that eventually end up taking their own lives. These are people that, in the eyes of those that don't have what they have everything. However, these are people that evidently what they now have, or what they have that we believe is worth something, really isn't worth it to them. So, you know, it depends on, I guess, how you look at it. Again, the gods scorned Capricious for his hatred of death and his passion of life, and the unspeakable penalty that they put towards him was to forever work but yet accomplish nothing. That's a very interesting saying, to forever work but to accomplish nothing. everybody that's here on earth is here for a reason. Everybody that's here on earth is here for a purpose. Everybody that's here on earth has a passion. The fact that you don't know your passion doesn't mean that your passion doesn't exist. It's that you haven't opened up your mind and your heart enough to discover what said passion is and how to make that passion become your reality, to make that passion become real, to make that passion become a part of your life that not only helps you but helps everyone that you help or that you can, that you know, so that they can obtain that same spirit, that same feeling, that same passion. You know, there's one particular military service that always embodies a certain passion and a certain respect. Not saying that there's anything wrong with any of the services. However, you ever look at the difference between a member of the United States Marine Corps and the difference between them and somebody that may be, let's say, in the Army or the Air Force or the Guard or the Navy? You know, it was once said that a person was standing at a parade ground, and there were military people from all the services in the area. And, you know, they were all standing there. They were proud, and they had their ribbons and their, you know, their covers and their, you know, their stripes and everything on and their bars, depending on what type of rank they were. And a man walks up to somebody that's in the Air Force, and he asks the Air Force person, he goes, "Hey, what do you do?" And the guy says, "Well, you know, I'm an avionics tech, you know, and I deal with the planes, and I do this, I do that, you know, but I'm a, you know, a person that does avionics for the Air Force, and that's what I do." So they walk up to a Navy guy, and the Navy guy, they ask him, "Hey, so what do you do?" And the guy says, "Well, you know, I'm a chief in the Navy, you know, and I work on destroyers, you know, and I work on the hydraulic systems for the destroyers and things like that, you know, and that's what I do in the Navy." So then they walked up to somebody in the Army, and the Army said, "Well, I'm a weapons technician, you know, and I handle, you know, this weapon and that weapon, and I'm proficient in doing this, this, and this, and, you know, that's what I do for the Navy." And they went up to the Guard, and the guy in the Guard was like, "Yeah, you know, well, you know, I haven't really been to combat," because this was before the Guard had gone to combat. He said, "I haven't, you know, been in combat, but, you know, I'm in the Air National Guard, and I do this, 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 and this for the Guard, and that's my job." So then finally, the gentleman walked up to this one Marine, and the Marine was standing proud, strong, straight, and then he was observing the parade and the activities like everyone else. So he walks up to the Marine, and he says, "So, what do you do?" And the guy looks him straight in the face, and he says, "I'm a Marine." And the gentleman looked back at him, and he said, "Yeah, I can see that. You know, you're wearing a Marine Corps uniform, and it looks sharp on you. But, you know, what do you do?" You know, and the guy says, "Sir, I'm a Marine." And the guy looked at the Marine, and he said, "You know, that's pretty interesting." And the Marine said, "Excuse me, sir?" He said, "Well, I talked to somebody in the Air Force. I talked to somebody in the Navy. I talked to somebody in the Army. And I talked to somebody in the Guard. And when I asked them what they did, they all told me what their particular specialty was, you know, what they did in the Marine Corps." He said, "None of them said, you know, I'm an Army this, or I'm an Air Force this, or, you know, or I'm the Air Force, you know, or the Navy, or what have you." He said, "However, you, Marine, are the only one that I asked that same question to, and your answer was simple. You said it doesn't matter what my job is. It doesn't matter what my specialty is. What basically matters is that I'm a United States Marine." And that's how I feel and believe that you should feel about your job. You should not be a capricious, you know, constantly rolling a rock up a hill, and in the end, finding out that as soon as you get to the top, that rock is going to roll back down and you're going to start all over again. That your labors will never end. That you'll constantly do a fruitless job that you'll never truly succeed in, because even when you leave, even if you retire from doing what it is that you're doing, there's somebody that's going to come in your place, and they're going to push that rock to the top of the hill and then let it go and then start all over and back to the top of the hill and then let it go and start all over. Well, I can't really say that I gave Capricious and Capricious's story justice, but I think that I was able to get the point across that in order to be happy, in order to find joy, because Capricious, in a weird kind of way, got joy out of the fact that he got to see the sun again, that he got to see water again, that he got to see, you know, the sky and the beach again before he was snatched back down to Haiti. But Capricious's life is now the life of his memories, you know, as he has to contemplate this through his silent torture. And he has to go through a myriad of things. And the only things that now keep Capricious moving is the fact that he's got those memories. And he's taken those memories and turned those into his reversed successes or victories. If you don't have that, if there is no sun for you to see and no sky for you to see, you know, you're locked in a room or a box and you're staring at the same things and doing the same things and knowing that your efforts may bring you a paycheck but aren't bringing you joy and happiness, aren't you somewhat like Capricious, rolling your rock or your rocks, depending on how many jobs you have, to the top of the mountain to only watch them roll back down to the bottom, and for each and every day to feel that your labors are fruitless, frivial, and of no importance, that your labors aren't the labors that are going to not only help you but help mankind and help those that you care about? I mean, I guess that is a pretty serious sentence, especially if you think of the fact that you're capable of so much more. You could do so much more. You have so much more, you know, and to not continue to think in such a narrow way that, you know, you need a job to do everything or that your position means something. You know, I once said to somebody that, you know, your title and a bus ticket will get you on the bus, but if you have your title and your title alone, it will get you nowhere. If you have a PhD and there's nobody looking for your knowledge, your PhD is a waste because there's nobody there to benefit from the knowledge you have to get. So, again, it's something to think about. All right? It's really something to think about. Are you being condemned by the gods just in a different way? Again, this is the Zurian Show, and I hope that you guys got something out of that story. And if you're finding dissatisfaction with what you're doing and you're constantly suffering from fruitless labors, maybe it's time for you to take a hold. Maybe it's time for you to take and make some changes in your life, because your fate matters. It matters to those you care about, and it matters to you. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show, and I want to thank you for your time and your patience, and everybody have a great day. Take care.